Blog Talk Radio.
Football as well. Welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show. I have my friend Alan Jones is co-hosting the show with me tonight. Alan from Palm Springs, California. Alan Jones.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here and talk a little bit about COVID and how to ride the virus, how to plan your comeback.
So
exactly.
Tonight,
thank you.
Alan is joining us. Yeah, absolutely. Alan is joining us too. We're going to hit on some points, and it's all about motivating, and especially tonight. This is a serious situation that's going on right now. People are going through and struggling with this this pandemic. We call it a pandemic because it is a plan. It was set up this way, and it's getting the best out of a lot of people out there. You know, a lot of people losing their mind, literally losing their mind. And just can't find the right avenue to right hold on life that they need to have to get back on track. But let me go to some credits. I'm going to get Alan on rocking and rolling and into the show. But the credits to Ron Yarbrough. Ron Yarbrough has been a very busy man going this summer. Ron Yarbrough, you get a chance, guys, check out his book. His book is called Believe So You Can Achieve. Believe So You Can Achieve. Very, very powerful book. Make sure you guys check it out. And his Instagram is y.a.r.b.r.o, number 16, and yarbrough.com. You can find him there. Also, too, guys, Swiss grips. For your golfers, Swiss grip is a grip that fits in your hands. It's comfortable, just like a shoe has a fit. Swiss grips. Make sure you check it out, switchgrips.com for your golfers. If you're not golfing, when you start golfing, put that grip in your hand. Can't go wrong with it. Also, too, the music that you just heard, Shani Morrell Holtz. Shani greets Shani on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Shani, super, super artist. She can, she's basically a younger generation of Sheila E. So make sure you guys check out Shani Morrell Holtz. That's the music that we heard coming into the show. And you get a chance to check out Modern. That's M-O-D-E-R-N, created the C-R-E-A-T-I-F. Okay, that's Mia.Martin. Okay, she's a consultant to build your brand. Make sure you guys check it out. And we may have Coach Bobby Hallback calling in tonight. Coach Hallback is a sports mental health consultant for not just youth, and for also two adults, Bobby Hallback. And we're going to, Alan, how's everything going with you and out there in super sunny California? How's it going?
Oh, it's going very well. The weather is conducive to golf, so that's what I've been doing to sharpen the game and getting my golf acumen up. It's coming along great. So, this has been a very welcome, but yet a productive downtime. I'll word it like that.
Mm-hmm. What you get out of golf?
Yeah.
How does that help you? No, does it help you mentally? What does it do for you, golf?
I'll tell you exactly. It's incredible because, well, I've been golfing for many, many years, about three decades, but this is what it does for me now because we are speaking as it relates to COVID, the pandemic lockdown, let's say. Well, one, I get outside between those hours of 10 to 2, which the experts say vitamin D3 generation, you know, benefits to your body is tremendous during that time of day, not very late in the day and not, you know, 6 a.m. But at those, you know, right, you know, 2 hours before noon and two after, that's the sweet spot where it really helps out, which is which helps to combat COVID, just like vitamin C, that vitamin D3 is very instrumental along with zinc. So by being outside in the sunlight, in that, getting exercise, you know, getting your, you know, your rhythm up, your, you know, instead of being sedentary, sitting in front of the TV eating donuts for, you know, 4 days in a row, that does nothing for you. So it's,
I've done
it's very well-rounding. Correct. It's a very well-rounding,
right,
especially when you perspire a little, you know, because it is, you know, 100 degrees out here in the desert, but it's very dry, as they say. It's very doable. It's very nice. So it's a wonder to get out, get the body going, get the sun, and eating properly, and, you know, burn off some of those calories. So, you know, to get the body really active, and I feel great. Fantastic.
So basically, you're getting both the both worlds in a sense. So you exercise and helping your mental strength, you mentally, as you keep your mind relaxed and enjoying life.
Yes, the hand-eye coordination. The hand-eye coordination is you know, very sharp, and it keeps your mind sharp because you know, have to have that mental acuity and that execution to, you know, stay sharp. It helps you, you know, keep the mind sharp. And lastly, you have to supplement, because a lot of the vitamins and minerals that are necessary on a daily basis simply aren't in our foods that we eat, whether you eat organic or not. So it's always great to add some very good quality supplements, you know, vitamin supplements to your regimen as well. That will definitely.
So what's your advice to people having plague all? You think they should get out and start trying it, get out and draw some sun, you know, and so it challenge your mind. It does put you – one thing we'll say, guys, and I – well, let me say this. Do you believe that golf, when you're playing golf, it takes your mind off of 90% of the things that you're going on? It kind of takes it off when you play golf?
Yes. Yes, and I don't know how I left that off. As obvious as that is, you can hit me in the head with a hammer for not mentioning that. It totally pulls you away, gets your head out of the news. It gets you out of that, because don't get me wrong, you have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to be aware of your circumstances, news, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but you can't overdose on it every day, all day long. Get away, pull back, get out of it. Free your mind, free your thoughts. And you'd be surprising just how much of a vacation it feels like by not being immersed in it, in all of that subject matter 24/7. Gets you, you know, after all, where is every golf course? In the most prestigious, nicest real estate in about every city or town, you know, generally a lake nearby, et cetera, et cetera. So, you're only going to be at a very nice place with no ringing telephones. So do the math. That's a recipe for success of mental clearing and a good mindset. If you could ask for one, that would be it.
Right. Hey, very well.
It's my
said.
Therapy, by the way.
Very well.
It's my therapy, by the way. It really
right.
is my therapy.
Right.
I gotta admit.
Right. I'm, you know, and for you guys, I believe it was In Vogue. It said, free your mind and the rest will follow. What you just said, In Vogue, or In Vogue came out. In Vogue, that was In Vogue. Yeah, In Vogue, back in the day. They said, free your mind
and
the rest
and George
will follow.
Clinton, too.
And George Clinton, that's original now. Original George Clinton, right? Then came up with that.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was original. Free your mind and the rest will follow.
Yeah. So
let
me ask
right.
you a question then. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So for your listeners, get your kids out there for your parents. Parents, get your kids playing golf, okay? And for you,
discipline,
I guess the
catch
us too. It doesn't matter what your age is. Up to 80, I know. You can go out there and try it. Go try it. Get your mind out of, you know what? guess what? Don't live your life, your mind just locked in jail forever. Don't do that. Please don't. You know what? When they say mind is a terrible thing to waste, it really is. Because you have a lot of planned crap that's going on right now in the world. Doesn't mean that you should not free your mind up and try new things in life. Just to try it, challenge it, challenge your mind and go out, something to focus on so you can enjoy your life on this planet. I had a friend I met, golfer, Alan. His name was Alan also. He was 74 years old, from New York, came down. And his 15-year-old grandson wants to be like him, you know, because he's strong. Alan is strong. He's out of New York. If you listen right now, you know what I'm talking about. And he could hit the ball, man. When I take a snatch that ball, I put Alan, I say, Alan, you know, you need to go to an M2 driver. Put him into an M2 driver, right? So it's real forgiving, 12 degree. Mm-hmm. I mean, compressing the golf ball. 74 years old. And guess what? He took the game up, I think, about like 10 years ago, something like that. But 74, man, 74, not 21, not 31, not 51, 41, whatever, 61, 74, out there swinging the golf club. Okay? So, guys, do not let this pandemic that we're in take advantage of your mind, because you have people, all youth and old, stressed out, forgetting about the word of prayer, going crazy, okay? And because you're not understanding, every time I see an advertisement, all I see, it could be about some gym shorts, it could be about some tennis shoes, you're gonna find, or cooking. They're gonna, on the end of the cooking show, they're gonna put the coronavirus right behind it, you know? So when somebody advertising something that much, okay, pay attention to it, okay? All right, everything that happens now has been tagged with coronavirus. True enough, people have died and people are struggling with coronavirus. Yeah, they have it. Some people have it. But don't let it, you know, some of these capitals, in a sense, get the best of you, because some of it may not be true. But, okay, let me read this pro, and we're going to go ahead and get into the show. First of all, it said, mental health, what's your game plan for getting through this pandemic? What's your strategies for it too? Because people are struggling mentally with this. And I'm going to give you Philippians 4th chapter 6th verse, okay? New IV, New International Version. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. My mom always said to guys, and don't forget this, when that thing that's out of your hand and you can't control, you live in God's hand, He will fix it. I'm going to say a quote with exactly what she said. My mom, Katie Anderson, all right, maiden name Katie Simpson, all right? My mom said this. She said, she used to break it down to me, my brothers, even my dad, and people that she knew and she cared about, and people wanted to call my mom for questions and stuff like that. My mom, that's how she was. People call and ask questions, want to talk to her. You know, she would give them words of wisdom. Yeah. She would always say, when there's things in your life, Alan, that you have no control of, you leave it in God's hand and He will fix it. Now, Alan, what do you think about it, people right now struggling mentally? What's some advice you give them right now? Then we're going to go to some tips. We're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about a little bit of the youth. We're going to talk about the mid-age group, adults and seniors, okay? We're going to give a different categories, okay? So what do you think about, in general,
all right,
what's going on with this promoting of this COVID-19?
Well, this promotion of it, you got to understand, it's a pretty necessary to know, but its impact can be negative with the way it's constantly being presented. And what I mean by that is, just look at the numbers. According to the mental health and coping structure, you know, by the CDC and I guess Kaiser Family Foundation, a lot of these just the numbers are across the board. You can see it in any of the publications. But the mental health relationship to COVID, you're talking about 45%, almost, in other words, nearly half of the adults in the United States have reported that their mental health has been negatively impacted due to worry and stress over the virus, be it financial, be it about their kids, or be it the job. Makes no difference. That overall, it's just a 45% blanket downturn, you know, a negative impact on the mental health of adults in the United States. So that's pretty significant, you know, across the board. So what can you do to kind of mitigate that? Well, we talked about, you know, some of the various things, and I think you mentioned you wanted to break it out by, you know, different sectors, different age groups within the community. So I think I'll cut it there, so that, you know, I don't step on.
No, you're not stepping on anything. Go ahead.
Talk about. Okay. Okay.
No.
Yeah, and when I saw that, it just blew me away. 50% of the people are negatively impacted. And I read also, I think it was not only the Wall Street Journal, but some of the major publications that, 40, okay, just take Yelp, for instance, because everyone's familiar with, well, hey, here's the businesses, and, oh, here's the reviews for these businesses. Well, do you know 45% of the businesses that are on Yelp, you know, because they publish their stuff like, hey, we're closed or we'll open after the pandemic when it allows us to, blah, blah, blah. Well, about 42% of the businesses on Yelp that have announced that they've, you know, closed temporarily or whatever, 42%
right.
of those won't be reopening. They're done.
Oh, geez.
Think about that. 50% of the people in the United States, 50%. Are technically unemployed. Close to half of all working age adults. Let me be specific. Nearly half of all working age adults in the United States do not have a job right now. Period.
That's sad.
Now
that's
pretty significant. That's why way back in our earlier shows, we all just knew that early on. That's why we nicknamed this whole thing the Plandemic. Now you hear that all the time now, a few months later, don't you? So I think we were right on point, not
Absolutely.
With a long hand
Absolutely.
Patting ourselves on the back. We just could smell we could just smell stinky cheese in Denmark, as they say, or whatever
exactly.
the saying is. But anyway, yeah, I think I'll break it off right there.
Yeah.
So how are you doing, Yarbrough?
Okay. And also, too, just for your listeners, I believe we have a call-in caller, welcome to Stephen Hudson Radio Show. We have co-hosts in right now, filling in for Yarbrough. We have Alan Jones. Caller, who's calling?
This is Coach Hall back, calling from South Florida.
All right.
Welcome, Coach.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome to the show. We were just mentioning you. I mentioned you earlier about that you may be calling in. For your listeners, Coach Hallback is a mental health consultant. Now, guys, it's kind of hard for me to talk. I think these guys understand. I'm trying to talk, and I have to go get braces, believe it or not. I know you guys will know this, but it's hard for me to talk. I mean, I feel like, it's hard for me to talk. We'll leave it at that. So I'm trying to talk. My mouth is just off course. You know, my center it was just off. I didn't realize that my jaw and everything. So, and my overbite was kind of major. And from football, you know, grinding and everything, all that impact that I went through, and other guys back in my time to play, all the impact with the helmets and getting hit in the face and chin, I guess all that, you know, shook a lot of things up. So if I would like to keep my teeth in order, I would, you know, this is the way I had to go. So I went that way, and I'm talking braces on, and it's a task right now. So thank God I have you guys to help me do this show. So you can't talk more about braces. It's rough.
Well, Well, I don't have a good excuse, but just go along with me.
I'm trying to talk straight, but these braces with this and these rubber bands is rough on me. So, but
yeah.
For your listeners, we have Coach Bobby Hall back. He's sports mental health consultant for youth and adults. So, Coach, I want to talk to you about future tournament sport. I'm going to be doing golf and also too, not with that. Sorry. But basically, the basic things that with the travel, how you have to plan for anything you're doing with travel, how it's stressing just people that you know, even myself, even with you guys, the things you have to plan for now, how much time you go outside, who you be around. So let's first of all, Coach, let's start with this. This is what I would like to start with, and then you guys can think of some things that will hit you. I think we talk about the regular workplace right now. What do you see as a struggle right now that people mentally struggling with? Just you have one person don't mind you being social distance to them, but you have the next person that they're fearful even be around people, period, but they have to go to work. You know what I'm saying? So it's like they have to be at work, but they don't want to be around people. So what would you say to a person like that, I guess, that person that they have to be at work, but they don't want to be around people because they feel as if everyone could have COVID? You guys can talk on that for a minute, and I'm going to write some other things down, and then you guys kind of bounce on a different. Mm-hmm. What do you think they struggle with mentally?
Okay.
What would you? Mm-hmm. Want me to reword it again?
No, you good. I don't know
okay,
if you want
right.
to go first, Alan, or you want me to go first. I don't know.
Coach,
Alan,
you go ahead
in...
and take the floor on this.
Yeah, that's
okay,
supposed to going to work, stressed out about, you know, being so socially distanced from the next person that's going to work every day right now. And then you had the other person on the side. They don't mind, but the one person at work, they're struggling with being around people. And go ahead.
Yeah, I have a thought. I'll go ahead since Coach just joined us. I'll let him warm up a little bit with some of my rhetoric here. But this is the thing that I'm finding. Because of all of the, as we touched on a moment ago, all of the news and, you know, you have to pull back. And but at best, you need to apply your own critical thinking. When you hear things, at least take 10 seconds to try to source it, check it out, compare it at least, because now there's a lot of confusing information. I believe it's being confused and on purpose, you know, the media, et cetera, in order to create more of, you know, an impact for one reason or another, thus the pandemic. But more importantly, people who have to work in this environment, people who have to be subjected to the public, whether you work at, say, Walmart, the pharmacy, whatever, getting the traffic from the businesses that are open, the kind of confusion about the clarity of what is fact and what isn't, just like the marches yesterday about, a little pushback for being mandated to wear a mask there in Austin, Texas, et cetera. So you're getting these things, the protests and those kind of things happening because of the conflict of information that's out there. So when you go to work, you aren't sure. You don't know whether to be gun shy with somebody, or be the ultimate professional and handle it like nothing's happening. You're unsure, so it makes you mentally destabilized in that moment. So that puts more stress on you throughout an 8-hour shift. As simple as that. Some people are okay with it. Some are really concerned because of all of the talk about whether a mask is good or not. Does it incubate it, COVID, and make it easier to spread, or et cetera, et cetera. It makes it harder to breathe. Does it add to it, or does it detract to the benefits? So all of those things are constantly crossing people's minds. And without an absoluteness of fact, uncertainty leads to anxiety, increased anxiety. That's my take on it from the people I've talked to that have mentioned it without, you know, even any prodding or anything. So that's just my experience on a daily basis, I would say.
Coach.
Okay. Yeah, in terms of that, piggyback off what you said, Mr. Allen, and plus also being an essential worker in the midst of taking care, you know, mentally ill clients from 5 years old all the way up into adults. Prior to this pandemic took place, you know, the CEO of our work agency, and just the rumor itself when it started, it was circulating, obviously, creating hypertension, anxiety. We still work when the time that it first came out, and then as people started getting more anxious and nervous, frazzled, kind of causing like almost like a panic attack amongst the population at work, you know, staff, clients, or whatnot. So the CEO and clinical directors, along with therapists and everybody that was involved with that in the mixture of when it first started out, you know, everybody was anxious, nervous, you know, concerned. Me myself, you know. So it was an option, okay? It was an option to stay at work or take a furlough. And then they still needed, like, you know, two therapists to stay around until she actually got more information from the government, you know, because it's a nonprofit agency where we are mandated by the government to report any foul play or any concerns or health concerns or mental health concerns. So I was one of the people that elected to stay, knowing that I was, you know, I had a little anxiety, you know, a little concern, because you're dealing with multiple individuals that's coming in and out the building. It reminded me, this like a five-story building where you have individuals occupying those spaces. It don't have to be our client, it's just people in general. So there was always some concern of contacting someone that you don't know of. You know, that's the most scariest part, not knowing who may have it. And then at the same time, if they did test positive, you know, it was confidentiality, so you still wouldn't know in terms of that. Mm-hmm. So you're dealing with a lot of unknown factors, you know, in terms of that. So I decided, you know, amongst myself, knowing that I would put myself at risk along with some other clients and some other staff plus client, because we still had some clients still coming for extended 2 weeks, you know, just try to de-escalate, get some kind of sense of homeostasis to get them back at balance until we figure out what's going on. So then our supervisor decided to shut down the agency so that we can be able to figure out how we're going to quarantine and assess clients, also assess assess clients, and also deal with
the concerns. Yeah, but let me ask you a question though. By you guys doing that, and my question is too, is this or that? Well, that person that is fearful to go to work right now dealing with this coronavirus, they're like taking it to like another level. Like in their mind, they're thinking that everybody have it because it's being promoted all on the news and everything right now. It's promoted everywhere you turn. I'm telling you, every station you're gonna have some COVID behind it or coronavirus, you know. So the thing is that by that scare tactic that's being used. Now I'm not saying that it's not happening. It is happening. But listen, everybody not getting sick have coronavirus, okay? Everybody that's down have coronavirus. But the scare tactic that's being used, you know, what would you tell that person? Say the person that's feared up and scared like that. What advice would you give a person that's mentally, they're messed up mentally for going? They don't want to go to work, but they're having to go to work under the stress of possibility that everyone could have coronavirus, and they may have someone that actually passed away, but they said it was coronavirus and may have known somebody. What would you tell that person that's going to work right now in fear of the next person might have a coronavirus?
Okay, first and foremost, you know, you would actually advise them to go get a test, you know, just so they know that they don't have it. And then as they report back to work, use university precautions, you know, as in like some may be comfortable with wearing the gloves or some may not be comfortable with wearing the gloves, but it's mandated that, you know, they have to wear face masks, you know. And then in regards to that, you don't want to isolate yourself from your employers or your colleagues, but at the same time, you want to be conscious, aware of what's going on and being mindful in the midst of that. But you want to also encourage that worker or staff member to, you know, just practice, you know, safety as much as possible. Because constantly you be touching, you know, without knowing, touching objects or trying not to shake hands, trying not to hug, you know, that become a challenge.
Well, what do you think about that, Alan? Then? What do you think about that? If I understand you're saying about that, and that's awesome. I totally agree with you on that. But you know, you did have some people that's just really, really crazy with this. They're like, you know, don't be around me without your mask on. Put your mask on, you know.
Right. They've been
you go to the bathroom, on video. You go to the bathroom, put your mask on in the bathroom. Wherever you go, put it on. You know, you have people out there right now really, literally losing their mind. And they're putting that fear in everybody else. That person.
Right. Like, yeah. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's some people out there right now, you can't tell them no different. They feel like everything that exists around the world right now is coronavirus. The air by coronavirus. There's some people right there that they've scared people that much that they are extremely fear, and they putting fear into other people. And but there's the other side of the other person be like, you know what? I'm not wearing my mask. I'm wearing a mask when I need to. And we'll talk about that too, Alan, about the mask. How we'll put into this show here a little bit. No, we'll talk about this some other time. But we could bring it in. But the fear, that person, and my advice too, what you're saying, Coach, is right on. But I would say too, if I was in that situation, that person that I'm gonna try to stay away from that person much as I can too, because I don't want them putting fear in me. It's like they're so. All you can tell them is to listen. When it's time for you to go, you can go. Now you can rush your life, but at the same time, first of all, you know, you have to look at on this other perspective that listen, everyone don't have coronavirus. And after these numbers they're putting out, listen, all of this done right now, everyone has coronavirus, but we're supposed to be the United States, right? We're supposed to be the United States. We're supposed to be all of all this power of sending things correct, vaccinations, et cetera. However, we feel like we're the poor state in the United States in a sense, what we're going through right now, like we can't get anything right. So that's where you got to look at this, like, come on now. Come on now. I mean, take a close look at this. Everything that's passing, everybody that's dying is not coronavirus. But at the same time, that person that's mentally, that's people right now getting mentally unstable. They're afraid to go outside. They're afraid to go to work, but they have to. My advice to that person that's seeing that person, tell them, I would say, listen, just keep your prayers going. And if you're in that mindset that you just driven to believe that everyone has coronavirus or that people that's around you could have coronavirus, I would stay away from them, focus on my job, what I'm doing, and just keep moving forward, because that energy could fall into your lap. And then all of a sudden, there you go, going around the same negative energy in a sense. And I'm saying it's negative because the fact is, so some things in life you have no control of, like I said before, my mom said from day one, leave it in the hands of God. Unfortunately, those people don't believe in God, but still leave it in the hands of God. Go ahead, Alan.
Yes, my mom used to say, when you have something, like you said, out of your control, et cetera, like your mother was speaking, it seems like great minds think alike here, but like you said, when you're in that scenario, when you put things in God's hands, you know, things of the nature of what we're talking about that are beyond your scope to control. When you place things in God's hands, you see God's hands in everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's real easy, you know, and do what you can do, but you can elicit some of that direction, help, insight, et cetera, from, you know, for the things that you can't. in order to handle them better from a mental perspective as well. But anyway, getting back to COVID, everything from that anxiety stems from, like I said, the medical masks, you know, who should and shouldn't wear. And you mentioned some of the pushback from, let's say, employees, for instance, since we were talking about, you know, workers and anxiety. You know, someone comes in without a face mask, you see people losing their mind, or sometimes other, since we're talking about business or whatever, other shoppers or whatever losing their mind. But the bottom line is, all of these face mask mandates or policies, they're trying to, through color of law, say it's the law just because it's similar to the policy. Now, the Journal of the on the website, the JAMA website, you know, Journal of American Medical Association, they clearly have the category COVID-19 medical masks, face masks, you know, two types of, you know, medical masks, the face mask and the N95 respirators, let's call it, since people are familiar with the more significant face mask, you know, with a little valve on it. So some people with pre-existing conditions cannot wear the face mask for any period of time without it affecting them, whether they have asthma or whatever the conditions. Thusly, there are exemptions for you don't have to wear the face mask. Matter of fact, that's what the big march was yesterday. What's today? Tuesday, sorry. On Sunday, I believe it was, in Austin, Texas, at the governor's mansion from, you know, from the Capitol building there in Austin, Texas, to march over to the governor's mansion. And that was the planned pushback, speaking out against wearing, you know, a mandate for medical masks. And they publicized, and, you know, the, you know, JAMA, as well as probably the CDC, but I know I saw it on the JAMA website. And I think it's JAMANetwork.com, to be specific, in their journals page with COVID-19 Resource Center, real easy. And it has the outline for who should wear a mask or not, or what is good and not good for, and it should, you know, et cetera. And it does have some very interesting aspects there of, you know, who should and who shouldn't. And people ought to take the time to read those kind of things. And the fact that a lot of these policies, which are leading people to believe it's the absolute hard-coded law, you have to help wear a face mask, they'll find that that is not the case. There is that caveat for exemptions because of health conditions or headaches or pre-existing conditions, asthma. There are variables there, and they list it out. But the way you mention it, because of the psychosis, the vehement push from the media, it makes people really crazy concerning the wearing of a face mask. Thus, the I think it was on one of the major news, you know, a video that went viral of a lady and I think a Trader Joe's that was confronted by a Trader Joe's employee. And, you know, she snapped, of course, and they had a big argument, and she was ushered from the store and refused service there because she didn't have on a face mask, and she was explaining she had asthma. So you're going to get a lot of those kind of things, and that's what's coming to the boiling point now. So we'll see how that works out over this next week as bigger pushback against that is happening because of the inflated COVID infection rates and all that have been inflated. In a nutshell, we can talk about that later. I don't want to jump and skip topics, but it's simple. If you have it and you're positive, everyone that you've contacted, we get to add those on as COVID count as well. You know, so it ends up multiplying the actual count by 10 or 15, you know, times. But anyway, the mask is point. What I was saying, and the anxieties, yes.
That's my point about the mask. You have some people that's going crazy about the next person having to wear a mask.
Right, and I mentioned that. You know? Yeah, I'm sorry. I just mentioned that at just a little tiny micro dot of it, just because that count is what makes people crazy about
having to wear that mask or not, because I heard it's growing. It's out of control. Please wear your mask. Don't infect me. You know, because of this inflated count. So anyway,
it's like
yes.
this. Guys, for your listeners, if you get a chance, watch the movies on television now that's being broadcasted, that you're watching, that's showing during this COVID-19, this coronavirus pandemic, plandemic. Watch some of these movies, and you may catch on to what's really going on. You catch on that okay, a lot of this right here is to tie you up mentally. It's so much evil, devilish crap that's being promoted all through this scare tactic that they put in fear into people. And it really, really, you know, you have to pay attention, because when you put that scare tactic to people and that evil, it gets into people's, into their lives, into their mindset, and they go out and they enrage. So many people right now are enraged and upset, and they're just off course. And they get mentally stressed out. Then that's going to affect the physical part. If you can't die one way, the devil going to try to affect you to die another way down the road. So we're going. It's like you being a rotisserie. To rotisserie, you know, you everywhere you turn, the devil's on you, and it's being promoted that way, guys. Pay attention to it now. Stay focused. Mm-hmm. I see it. There are some people see it. Some people probably don't see it, but they feel it. But it's going on, Coach. But go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, just for me, like being in the trenches, right? So I'm in the trenches. I'm in the mix of what's going on. You got anxiety,
yes,
on top of panic attacks. You got mental illness, because I'm living and breathing this every day. So in terms of that, like I have to kind of just I have to be more diligent and vigilant, and I have to be mindful, you know, myself. Because I can't deny the fact that it's not real in terms of like what's actually going on, you know. And we did have some staff members and some clients brought that into the facility, you know. But just being prayerful, asking God for, you know, mercy and protection. On top of that, I would be lying if I didn't say I'm not practicing universal precautions and being careful, you know, in the midst of what's going on. And then you listen to the media, everything is so conflicted right now. You got to be able to trust yourself, you know. Now I'm talking about on a personal level, but as on a work relationship level, you know, I have to be able to maintain focus and execute. And everybody that I'm surrounding with, you know, some of them are having those moments of anxiety. I'm talking about staff, you know, let alone with some clients, because the uncertainty is real in terms of what's going on. And so for me, I can't show no signs of fear or panicking or pacing or fretting, because I'm in a line of work where I have to provide mental health services to the clients, you know. So I'm just speaking in terms of what I'm going through and what I'm seeing, you know. It can be overwhelming because you're trying to keep yourself in the game, you know what I mean? You're trying to keep yourself focused, and you're still trying to deliver a service. So
what's happening is you have people that's so fearful up in there. They're so fearful, and they just gossiping. They're so gossiping about it, and they putting fear into other people.
Right.
It's like almost you can close your ears of some of the negative.
Right.
When people start talking about this pandemic, it's almost like you just need to close your ears and just keep going. Just keep that negative energy, that speech away from you.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Keep the negative
speech
of the pandemic, coronavirus, away from you. Okay, because you're gonna have your coworkers. It could be people around in the elevator, on a grocery store. Wear your mask. Oh, put your mask on. Go home. Go to sleep. Put your mask on. You know, go take a bath. Go to the bathroom. Take your mask on. You know, and all this.
Driving home
riding on the
by yourself in the car.
Yes, they. You know what? They need to put a mask on car. The medic will put a mask on in front of cars. They're gonna put them on the tail light. and everything, you know. But I'm saying is, I heard Coach Hallback was sleeping in his mask. That's what I heard.
But you do see people driving down the street by themselves with their mask on.
But no, that's so true, because I have to catch myself. Yeah. I have to catch myself because I'm so programmed. You know what I mean? It's almost becoming like a norm. You know what I mean? And that's what I was saying to one of my coworkers. I'm like, man, I feel like, you know, the face mask is just a part of me where it can't come off, you know, in terms of just what we've been accustomed to, you know. And it's a lifestyle that's been changed. And you just look at it widespread. The whole world is going through this change, you know.
Well, what you just said, Coach, forget this, Mr. Allen. You said you feel like you've been programmed. Okay, and let's get to on people's mind. They program you to be fear, and they put fear in you. Okay, they put fear in you, and people out there. Oh, coronavirus! Stay away from the people. Stay away from them. Okay, because the fact is, you're gonna bring it home. You're gonna start talking to you. Your spouse, your kids, your friends, and you're scaring everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, somebody clap their hands, you're gonna jump. Coronavirus. Every person that's dying today, coronavirus. So
yeah, well, see, Coach. Go ahead. I was gonna say, Coach, how about you? You're there in the trenches every day with all the anxiety and all of that. And like you said, you have to have that diplomatic straight face in dealing with the pros and cons, the ins and outs of the impact on people that are right there, you know, in your face. So that's admirable. And at the same time, having the wherewithal to, you know, hey, still be cautious, because it's not infecting every other person I know, not at all, like they'd have you to believe on the news. However, it is a deadly virus. Let's not be mistaken that it is a binary bioweapon, you know, it's a chimera. Mm-hmm. It has a basic coronavirus, you know, you might say baseline with three or four other components of unlike species spliced into it for effectiveness. So don't be crazy and forget that one point. It's a man-made bioweapon, and when it does lock in, it's serious. So there is a right to be a claim to have some kind of defense of apprehensive nature about it and standoffishness and, oh, we'll wear the mask, but not to the point of being acting like you're attacked by Dracula from 3 feet away every time you take a step, you know, like the media will have you to believe. And after all, let me ask just you two guys a question real quick, because we've all read recently in the last few days about the numbers being, you know, boosted, you know, being exaggerated. I saw a huge headline today, a really breaking story, that they put a number on it up to about 15 to, you know, 20 times the amount of increase, based on how they now have changed moved the goalpost and how they're counting COVID positive, you know, counts. But nevertheless, why would you need to boost the count if it is as dangerous as they say? Now, we know it's dangerous, it kills, but I'm saying as dangerous as they would have you to believe. Why would you need to boost the count? Right there is where your common sense needs to take a hold. It's no need to boost it or have any. Yeah. Why would the entities who are responsible for changing policy to boost the count of COVID positive counts, right? Why would you need to increase the count to create fear if it is already fearful because it's dangerous? That's the question you got to ask. Why do you want to create more fear? Because when people are scared, they ask and demand. They demand a solution. They demand you to do something about it. Like what? Come on, hurry up. Give me that vaccine so we can get back to normal. They want you to ask and beg for that vaccine. They want you to ask for that solution, to give them the green light, to press forward real quick with that solution. That's what I'm thinking. But then again, I'm not thinking that out of my brain power. That's just over a lot of people with very good points. You know, because like I say, take a look at both sides. I've looked at both sides, and that's a real, real probability.
Mm-hmm.
Real probability, mm-hmm. because that will benefit the creators of the vaccine. They're asking to beg for the vaccine due to the virus, with the increased virus count. If you beg for that vaccine, the creators of that vaccine are going to make a heck of a lot of money.
It's like this. If
whether it works or not.
Like this. I'm a professional receiver, right? Professional retired receiver,
right.
In the NFL. Okay? Professional.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that because I'm a professional that I did learn, you know, I would say this. You professional, where I came from, the small school I came from, you have to have known some stuff. But also, too, when I got there, I learned some stuff that I didn't know from the school I came from. Okay, I learned some stuff how to run a route sharp, right? So I learned how, if you don't run this route, this is what's going to happen. If you do run the route this step, this is going to happen. However, if you run it over on this line, this will happen. So basically, what I'm saying is, if you're saying something, you explain something to somebody, you're supposed to know the answer and have a solution for it. Now, if I'm a scientist, right, big-time scientist, and I'm up there on the media every day just talking, but I have no answer. I have no answer. I have no vaccine. I'm up there talking. Where's the vaccine at? Where's the vaccine all this time? Well, I honestly, there's no vaccine. What you want to do? We need some dumb dishwasher soap and some Fabulosa and some hand sanitizer and just bathing that every day. I mean, where's the vaccine? But
that's
to say this. Right. It's just like, I'm not going to keep, it's almost like this. I'm not going to keep dragging you alone if it's dangerous. Do not run that route across. Don't keep running across the zone. As a receiver, you're going to get your head knocked off. You could be seriously hurt. Okay, you better sit down after that next, before that linebacker or after the next linebacker. You better sit down in that zone. Now, there's some coaches out there don't know what I'm talking about, but they get paid an enormous amount of money. Don't know what I'm talking about.
They got to know.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
I'm a scientist. If I'm a scientist, why do you have the vaccine? So that's another go with the plan I'm talking about, because why are you dragging everything along? Why has it been drug out so long? Okay, putting fear, more fear in the people. We're going to make them, because the people got to beg for it. We got to put you in the net.
Mm-hmm.
Put you in the net. We put all them in the net. We're going to net them in a minute. And we're doing a great job of it. And they're putting the fear. You see everything that's going on. You got putting the fear. But there are certain people that are being smart. So I'm saying this to say to your audience, for your listeners. Stay away from all the negative feedback that's on the news. Stay away from all the people that's putting fear and running scared. Well, listen, when you out there going to war, you don't need nobody around you scared. Trust me. Nobody out there scared. Okay, something's going to go wrong. You have people around you scared. So I'm saying is, and if there are people around you that's willing to listen, to give them the motivation to go out there and fight, to get forward in life, to make a positive change, if they don't want to be around, you need to step to the next person. Okay? Because when you have your faith and say your prayers, again, God will fix it. And you have to be like, I'm going to step on here. I'm going to let God fix it. God, show me the way. Show me the route I need to run. Show me what I'm missing. And don't be so Superman and Superwoman to block what God has given you, to open up your mind to see. Okay, Wonder Woman, she got every shield. She got shields on her ankles. She got shields. Wonder Woman had more shields than Superman. I think Superman had one shield and had a cape, right? One of them don't have no cake, but she got shields on her shin. She got shields on her wrist, on her forearm, everywhere. It don't matter, male or female.
Mm-hmm.
Open your mind up. Ask God to show you the way. Okay?
To keep you positive,
to keep you going, to understand, to see better than what you're seeing. Go ahead.
I was going to elaborate on that topic. What you said, faith and trust in God. You know, my pastor. You know, maybe about 3 weeks ago. You know, spoke in terms of believing God, trusting God. At the same time, knowing that if you trust in Him, no weapon should form against you. No disease should come upon you. But you got to believe in that, though. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, it's almost, you speak about it, people speak about it, but do they believe in it? But that's just to attest to what you're saying, as on the biblical term. You're right. Yeah, you got to trust mm-hmm. in God. Mm-hmm. You got to believe in God if you're a believer, you know? So that's important. Yeah, I just want to piggyback off that. So go ahead, Coach. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that was.
Yeah, see, everything right now is. Oh, okay. I was going to say, everything right now is as simple as this. It is. It absolutely is. Only a fight between good and evil. It's these satanic pushes, these negativities that, of course, can be combated by the spirituality of it. Because you're talking about an entity that's trying his best to mimic God's work. That's really what this is. This virus, these chimeras, all of this is just the satanic generation of diabolical nature. This dabbling in bioweapons.
Mm-hmm.
It can't measure mm-hmm. to God's work, the creativity of man, everything from genetically modified organisms, all of this is no match for God's work. And we all know love is the most powerful vibration energy in the universe. And there is no accident throughout millennia since the beginning of man that there has been a spiritual and a consciousness, a connectedness between man and creator. And no matter what someone may or may not believe or whatever, that doesn't negate the fact that that is absolute. And that's been, that horse has left the barn, a long time ago. And it has been acted, through man's actions since the beginning. And like mm-hmm. they say, there are no atheists in foxholes. And that is truth. It's just a matter of asking and for that relationship with God. It's within you. The temple is within you. It's not external. That's your
right.
connection to your creator.
Mm-hmm.
But the, powers that be who are trying to control you through satanic influence and communicating with inner dimensions don't want you to know that, you see. That's what it all is about throughout mankind. In any culture, it's a matter of either you are connected or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right on point.
And I assure you I'm connected. I assure you that I seek. And I'm fearful of not having that relationship because it is so enriching and, powerful. It's something that I just am not interested in doing without on a personal basis.
Right.
And that's what,
right.
And,
nice.
And see, you're absolutely right. And see, that's what I was saying earlier about, for your listeners, you have to be careful what you're watching on TV. Okay? I'm going to say it again. Be careful what you're watching on television to drain your mind. Watch some of the shows that's being advertised and movies being shown while all this is going on, and sit you at home and put this in your mind. Pay attention. And you can figure out for your own self. You have your own opinion about it, but you really, really pay attention to some of the things that you're seeing, commercials, advertisements, that's going on during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. The role reversal, the breakup of the family, the degradation, the fighting between men and women, or women look good on television and they make the men look stupid, et cetera. You look at any movie, you see The Rock or whoever, some big guy, five big guys with great big guns and all of this, and then you have a little run in there with the gun. Who can outshoot all of them, who can beat up all the guys better than them. You know, they're trying to have complete role reversal to tear down the family unit. Because if you're separated, you separate the man and the woman, then we can get at you. But if they're a strong core unit, you see, it's just like I don't want to use male and female, but I will. Male plug, female plug, you know, like with electronics or the garden hose has to, you know, fit onto the receptor, you know, on the faucet. Okay, it screws on and binds tightly, and it works together as a team. So whatever you want to do and all of that, without getting into any personal beliefs about some other unrelated dialogue, the bottom line is this. The family core unit is designed to be a team against all of the outward pressures to break up and control, to infiltrate, manipulate, and control the individual by breaking them up from meaningful teams, from societies, from neighborhoods that watch each other's back. They get each other fighting with each other instead of having each other's back. That way they can break in and control the individuals better. Break up the bond between man and woman. We can get together and control them easier. And they sit back and laugh at the fights that they create and the decimation that they initiate on any meaningful, you know, unit out there. But more importantly, the family unit. And that is the truth. Well, what's lately right now in the news? What was the march the other day? The Black Trans Lives Matter? They now are going to that.
What
you
now?
Know why?
What they doing?
Black Trans Lives Matter. Yeah. Now, let me tell you something since I mentioned on the family unit. Nothing is more rare and more devastating to the family unit. Just mathematically, I mean, just common sense. I'm not saying this for any other reason, but just from common sense. Because if you have black men, look at America, you know, the percentage of the population, 13%. Then you have black trans. Then you're breaking up the family unit, and blacks can't reproduce, right? And not a trans man, not generally. You're not going to have a healthy family unit. And the last piece. I'm sorry?
All I can do is tell you to preach.
And,
I'm going to get to that show eventually. But go ahead and just preach. That's what you're saying.
Go ahead. And one last piece, gentlemen. One last piece. There are more black babies dying in New York City than are being born. I'll repeat that. More blacks are being aborted than are being born in New York. So far, 60 million babies have been aborted. You're talking about half of the blacks have not born since 1970. They've been aborted at Planned Parenthood, through Planned Parenthood. Now, do you hear any politicians talking about that? And they haven't, and there's not one neutron bomb, nuclear bomb, a bomb or whatever dropped, not one shot fired, and half of the blacks have not been born since 1970. They've been aborted. Now that's atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take care of our society better.
But see, that's what I was saying for your listeners. Some of the negative, you hear negative, when people start talking about pandemic, and they skate, and then they start talking about you better recognize. You better listen.
We need.
When they start screwing.
Why
you
do
up,
you think I say these things? Because I want my people. I want brown people. I want white people. I want everybody to stand up. Screw the common sense back in their head, because what they can do to me, they can do to you. We have to stand up against any type of tyrannical control that's out to destroy us, instead of living a hopeful, life-filled humanitarian, existence, instead of this dog-eat-dog nonsense.
Let me tell you guys this. When you're in a football stadium, the seat that's on the very, very bottom is not usually the best seat. The one at everything now they have the TV and all this, the Jumbotron and all that. Still, sometimes you can, have them look one way and turn your neck to look over here and that way. But still, when you're in that section, the midsection of that stadium, or even sometimes even in the pigeon section. Crazy says it can be a little bit too far out, but still, when you're in that midsection, it's like you got to back up and look back and see what's going on. Sometimes, I use the knowledge of time when my brother went to a game. It was in Jackson State, a football game. Grandma was playing Jackson State and went to go watch. It's a guy coming out with my brother. My brother and they had an off game. My younger brother went to the Jackson State game. And we started walking out, and people started – we heard something shoot. People just started running. Okay, and we started running. We stopped. And he said, what are we running for? Because everybody else was running? I mean, we stopped, right? Right. He stopped. He said, stop, Steven. My older brother. And we stopped. And I'm like, everybody's still running. So we started backing out the way, and we were trying to see where it was coming from. Eventually people stopped running, but people was following each other, following older people, elderly, to run over them and everything, right? And saw it like this. When people are running scared, you have to stop and pay attention to what's really going on. See where it's coming from. Kind of analyze the situation, okay? Don't believe everything you see or everything that's written. And that's a problem with the world today. It's so instilled in us to believe everything we see and everything is written. Kind of analyze it. Have an opinion, okay? But also to understand that who is creating this evilness, the scare tactic, okay? It's not just the individual. It's the devil that's in the individual. And that's what you have to tend to see, listeners. Trust me, believe what I'm telling you. It is true. There is another life after this life. Understand that the devil's at work. Don't forget that. Yeah, we go, and do you not understand what's going on right now? God is allowing all this to happen, number one, until you start paying attention. Again, your knees. He allowed all this to happen. He can start the world back up today. Everything will be right, peaches and pretty, and back on your feet. But there are some people just not getting it. Okay? You have to get it. Now, unfortunately, there are people that have passed away from this coronavirus plan that they put on us. But guess what? The devil already got those people that allowed this to happen. He got them. And those are people that you got to stay away from. But understand me today. And in my book, I'm going to talk about it. I died and came back. And all my people in my hometown and people that know me, what happened to me, they know. And I'm going to tell you, that's a different side of where we at right now, okay? I can tell you that. I don't have to be on no commercial on television all in the world. No, I died, and people tell you that my hometown and people that know me and love my loved ones, my friends, I died. And there was a different side. Believe me. The devil is real, and he is winning right now over us. There's people that's committing suicide. There's people that's going. There was a situation today. Someone was shot at some Amazon person. I think something was a situation shooting at the Amazon. The devil is laughing. He got us all like puppets, guys. He got us like puppets. Don't be a puppet, okay? Until you start praying and get with God, you won't be no puppet. You want to be a puppet. Because a puppet, you can be played into anything. A puppet can have you eating off the ground, everything. A puppet can have you somewhere your mind is supposed to be, or you lose your mind. That's a puppet. That's a devil's playground. That's what he's doing right now, guys. Please pay attention. You have to like me. You have to love me. But please tell me, if one thing you may not hear on this show, but hear it tonight. The devil is real. They show it. Look at everything they show on the advertising right now, all the movies. Everyone got to be shot.
Mm-hmm.
They got to go over here and cut off somebody's head, cut off somebody's feet, cut them this way, cut them that way. When they quit cutting that person and destroying them and shooting them, then they go try to find somebody else to cut. Then they did. They still cut. Ain't nobody else to cut. Then they go find. They'll start cutting in the dirt. They start cutting them up. And they start killing somebody else. Blood. 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 That's all you see. But they don't believe
mm-hmm.
in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in God. They won't pray. I don't see nothing about no prayer on TV. I don't see nothing about
ever.
Helping people. You know, it's like. Right. So you understand, guys. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you. You don't have to like Steve Anderson. But I'm telling you, we're all going to die one day. Our kids that we're looking at, they're going to be our age one day, and they're going to be much older. And people's going to always be going to be living and dying. And we pray when you die that you go to the right place. But right now, don't fall for what's going on with the devil right now. And don't fall with people right now. Their minds lose it. You pray for everybody. And this, we're going to keep preaching this because the fact is that we understand that people have lost their mind. And they're scaring people. Stay away from the negative television, negative media out there. Now, some medias, mm-hmm. I want to tell you and Coach will tell you that they have to report certain things. Yes, they do.
Right.
I'm not talking about the media itself, mm-hmm. all the people that's speaking, but there are certain people that's above them that have certain things out, and they do their report to let people be aware. But some of this
right.
awareness that's going out is not it's made up, too. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. some fires you see, my dad told me, God said this, some fires have some help to them, okay? All fires just won't burn by themselves. Some have help. When they have
right.
help, that would mean it was caused by something. So it was no accident. It was caused to be that way. You guys go ahead and talk,
right,
man. I'm
right.
done tonight.
That's absolutely correct in terms of everything you stated. I mean, I don't have much to say. It's just enough. It's more than enough information to digest, to receive, to let it marinate, resonate. What you did let them understand is you have to take initiative to learn yourself. You know, self-educate. Also, be aware of what's going on and being fearful of God. You know, having God in the midst of everything that's going on and trying to have a sound mind. Or want a sound mind, and stay away from people that put off that anxiety energy, which be negative energy. Because if you ain't careful, it can get into you. So you have to exercise
right.
those beliefs in terms of
right.
having internal and personal relationship, you know, with God in the midst of what's going on, you know, and just ask for guidance and protection, you know. And being a prayerful individual and being a fearful man, you know, that's the source, that's the key. But you cannot turn away from everything that you just delivered and shared with the audience, because everything you said is real, you know, in terms of things are being overcast, catastrophized, not being able to know for yourself. You know, what's really
mm-hmm.
going on. So, yeah, you're totally right.
Mm-hmm.
Self-education is important, along with just being in the mix of having God Almighty. You know, that's what I say, God
right.
Almighty. You know, that's one of my
right.
prayers right there, you know.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Hey, I wasn't extremely outspoken for many years, you know, up till recent, say the last 2 or 3 years. About topics of relating to consciousness and God, et cetera, and, you know, just Christianity and all. But all I'm saying is people have to get back to the basics of being a decent people, regardless of your beliefs. You have to, I mean, it's simple. You have to have a little bit of humbleness and humility, and you have to seek him, and you have to follow the basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible, you know, and be aware so that you can implement that in your daily life, because without the simple, you know,
guidelines of how to exist and be a people of reasonable, repeatable humanitarianism, and having some guidance, having some centeredness to you. You just can't be out here a live wire with no regard for your fellow man, having absolutely no initiative to be a better person, just a richer and greedier person. That's just not going to fly in the long run. And that's all the devil wants. People who are only interested in self-enrichment, greed, and, get them before they get you mentality. That's the easiest to control and take over by just dangling that little manipulative piece in front of people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we become as a society, whereas that's what's flashy and what's wanted versus living righteous and being worth something. You know, yeah, there's
right.
So many people with money now that have absolutely a hole in their system, in their soul, so big that no matter what, they can't be happy no matter what.
They don't have the basics.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't figure out, well, I got money, I got bling. Oh, my mom left me $8 million, and I'm still, no matter what I do, I can't get a, you know, that they have a very resonating relationship with. Nor can I solve this loneliness in my soul, even if I'm in a room full of people, and they wonder why.
Let me ask you a question. Have you guys ever been somewhere, gone somewhere, like, say you go to the grocery store, and your mom was selling some ice cream, right? And you had what you're going to get, or it could be something for breakfast the next morning. Obviously, some ice cream, something sweet, you know, because everybody likes something sweet, you know, whether it's some sweet wine, some sweet ice cream, candy. You don't like candy, somebody has some sweet, somebody like something. It could be pie, cake, whatever,
right?
Your mind, you got it, or it was like this, or you going to get something to cook, and you got everything you need to make the restaurant cook. You're like, oh, I can't wait to make this, I'm going to make it at home, you know, I'm going to cook something. Or, I got my whipped cream, I got me a cake, or some cookies, and you got some ice cream written on there. You scratch the ice cream, but you get to the house, you sit down, and you go in the defreeze, and you forgot your ice cream. You know, and you become so frustrated and upset, right? You be like, God dang it, I didn't get the ice cream. I forgot the season, I forgot the ketchup, whatever. You forget something, you get frustrated. Your thoughts, you forgot, okay? Now, in life, what people go on sometimes, and I'm going to relate this, something like this, to a bigger part of this, of forgiveness. There's something in life, if you don't have the ingredients of prayer, there's some things that you go through, like right now, that you forget to become organized, become to stay proactive, productive, while this pandemic is going on. And you just sit, you look at the news, call, stress, worry, instead of getting to say a prayer or thank you, God, thank you for what you've done for me, thank you. And you'll be surprised how your mind opens up, okay? That's what I was saying earlier. A lot of times the devil, he's putting so much out there on you. He's sprinkling so much evilness out there in the world, on the media.
Distraction.
It's affecting the youth. Distraction.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't even, that the mind is becoming, it's frozen. You can't think.
Mm-hmm.
You can't think of a way out. But your way out is this, we tell you. Stay organized. Set a routine. Okay? Have a plan when you get up in the morning or this night before you go to bed. And stay active with it. You know, like Alan was saying earlier, stand around, just sit and watch TV, and all of a sudden, I'm not going to lie, man, during the pandemic, man, I got comfortable, man. eating ice cream popcorn every day. My weight looked at me one day. I got one more, and my weight looked at me and said, "Let me tell you something, man. You need to straighten up. You know, straighten up." I said, "Okay, yes, sir. I'm gonna straighten up." My weight looked at me. I'm like, "Where you come from, man? Hey, I'm like, who are you?" What I had to like, wait a minute, okay? Yeah, so I'm just saying, even just not your weight, you'll find yourself getting too comfortable. I said this on a radio show. Yeah. I talked with my Shani or something. I said, when you're being too comfortable in life, you're not achieving. You're not getting things done. Because always stay busy. Busy is a good thing. I'm not saying don't over busy. And then you're busy for a little bit, and then you relax. You know, but still, you gotta be doing something. Keep moving, motivate. You need to be helping, doing something. Stay active.
Right. Even if you're trying something and it doesn't pan out, you try something else. You're staying active.
Exactly.
You're chomping away at your goal, even whether you're moving forward or not. You might be moving sideways, but you've now narrowed down what should work because you just failed at one extra, so that's out. Failed again, that one's out. So you keep on going through attrition because once you use up everything that doesn't work, the only thing left is what will work. You win. I mean, you know, you just can't give up no matter what. But one thing, I just wanted to mention this. It came to my mind while you were talking. One word that I've heard more in the last, say, 5 years constantly than I've heard my entire life. People from all walks of life using old, young, middle-aged, whatever. The one word, overwhelmed. I feel overwhelmed. I've heard that word so much in the last 3 or 4 years from everybody. I wonder why that is. Really, overwhelmed. I mean, that wasn't a word I heard a whole lot when I was 15, 20, 30, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Could I say something about that once you're done or when you get done?
Yeah. I'm done. Overwhelmed.
I mean, being overwhelmed. I mean, we know this. Like you, like you said before, you got to have a routine. You got to maximize your time. If you're not able to maximize your time and let things pile up, or you can't be complex, flexible, that's what overwhelm leads to. Feeling overwhelmed because you're not using your time wisely. You're not delegating. You know. 8 hours out of the day alone with just working 8 hours out of the day, but at the same time, in the midst of working 8 hours out of the day, you still have to be able to game plan to eliminate those stressors or to eliminate things that you may have forgot. That's where overwhelm comes from, not managing your time properly.
And you're a professional speaking on that, and believe me, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Absolutely.
Coach, I really enjoyed you on the show, man. I'm glad you called in and everything. Anything like to say, give you like 30 seconds to end the show up, Coach?
Just keep listening to the weekly show. Take in all the energy and positive thoughts and vibe and just let it resonate and marinate. And just stay positive and prayerful. Thanks for listening, and I enjoy the time on the show.
And we can reach you where at now, Coach?
Instagram, Bobby Hallback, first and last name, and then Gmail, BobbyHallback@gmail.com.
Sweet. Bobby Hallback. Hey,
excellent.
Thank you. Hey, glad you're at the show. We're going to get at it next week. And then enjoy you.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Would you like to say anything before we end the show for tonight? Well, listeners, one.
Yeah. Yes, I sure would. In remembrance of your mom and mine, I guess I'd like to repeat what I said earlier. When things are tough and you're trying to get it done, et cetera, you feel overwhelmed. Hey, when you leave things in God's hands, you see God's hands in everything. And again, that's the things that are beyond your control. You got to do what you can do, but it's okay to look for the guidance and the help that comes from the power of all there is, was, and ever will be. And with that, like Hallback, you can find me on Gmail. LeaveUsAlone@gmail.com. That's LOAN, by the way, like a home mortgage loan. LeaveUsAlone@gmail.com.
Alan Jones. Thanks a lot for joining the show. We're going to see you next week. We're going to post a topic. I want you to join me again next week. Thanks again, and have a good night.
All righty, and thanks for letting me ride shotgun, and you have a good night.
All right, good night. For your listeners, we'd like to say hope you enjoyed the show. Again, stay busy, guys. Stay busy. Keep moving. Have a plan set up and stay away from the negative. Negative, not just the energy, but the words that's been put out there and people that's been negative with this pandemic, the scare tactic. I understand that it is real. However, it's real. I want you to still stay focused. And of course, stay safe. But at the same time, do not let this stress you out. Stay focused on what you're doing. Keep your prayers going. Okay? You have to fight around this. You have to fight around this. Keep moving. Of course, stay safe. And keep your prayers alive. I want you guys to have a wonderful evening. Stay tuned to the next show. Good night.
In the park on a Saturday by the lake.